Was this morning and turn to Gospel of John chapter number 12. I did fail to mention the fasting and prayer this week for my son. The deacons came to me. Do I have this microphone on? Can y'all hear me? Okay. The deacons came to me a week or two ago, and they asked if we could have a day of prayer and fasting, and I said that would be fine. My wife leaves at the beginning of next month with him, and they'll be there for about 8 weeks. And let's just pray that God uses this treatment in his life. He has Lyme in his brain. Many of you are aware of that, and sometimes you don't see that by looking at him. He looks like, he looks like everything's normal, but it's not. And so we have been down this path for a long time, and we're thankful that we could have answers, and we're hoping that this time helps. And of course, there's a number of things that we should be praying about anyway. Normally, we fast and pray. We fast, or we encourage you to fast from after dinner Tuesday till after the service Wednesday night. But whatever you want to do, even if you don't fast, would you pray? There's a number of things we need to pray about anyway. Obviously, pray for my son that the treatment works. It's very expensive. Pray the Lord will provide that. Pray for our nation. I mean, this nation is divided. And as I said in the announcement time, there are churches that now have signs posted that they cannot meet. And they're meeting anyway because God commands us to. And so we need to pray for the elections coming up and pray for one another. I tell you, I don't know if you've faced, how many of you in the past 6 months, or I guess it's been about 6 months, have felt any sense of down in your spirit over the course of, we all have. And the devil wants us down and defeated and discouraged and doesn't want to see us impact people with the gospel. Now is the time. If you ever have been needed as a believer to take a stand and to do what's right, now is the time. There are people that are fearful, that are living in fear, and they need Jesus. And we have hope. We know we're on our way to heaven. We know what the Bible says, and when you look at history, we've had it pretty good compared to some other generations, especially in the area of persecution. And so we need to spend time with the Lord, walk with God, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. And these times of uncertainty are times that should draw us closer to the Lord. And so do that. Spend more time with Him. And let's be encouraged, and let's look to Him. He's on the throne. God's in control. And we don't need to fret or worry or fear. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. And so we're in John chapter number 12 this morning. We're continuing our series entitled, He Must Increase. I want to preach a message this morning that I believe is one of the keys to really making a difference. And I hope that you want your life to count for Jesus. I hope no matter how old you are this morning, no matter how weak you might feel, I hope your desire is to run the race that God has called you to run and to make a difference in people's lives until the time that God calls us home to heaven. But you know, one of the big keys to the Christian life is found in John chapter 12 in the verses that we're going to look at this morning. Our flesh doesn't naturally want to make a difference. Our flesh doesn't naturally want to do what's right. How many of you would say, I have a flesh sometimes that doesn't want to do what's right? We all do, right? Remember what Jesus told the disciples in a key time for Him. He's going to the cross and He says to them, watch and pray. And what do? They do sometimes like some of us do in a service. They got a little tired, and they were sleeping. And what did Jesus say? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we've got some answers, I think, that help us in John chapter 12. And so I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse number 20 of John 12. The Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let's bow and ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we do need you today, as was prayed already. Without you, we're nothing. Lord, I yield myself to you, and I pray that you would use me as your servant to communicate truth to your dear people here. Lord, you know the needs of each heart. And I ask, God, that you would meet needs. And I ask, Lord, that you would just rivet this truth at home in our hearts. Lord, that we might understand that death brings life. And Lord, would you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us, when we think of death, we think of it as a bad thing, and most of the time it is. Somebody says, hey, so-and-so died. Oh, that's sad. There's a rare occasion where we might say, well, God delivered them from their pain or whatever, but we see it as kind of a sad thing. Someone say, hey, my dog died, and I don't know if you're a dog lover or not a dog lover, but if you hear someone saying their dog died, there's probably something inside of you that finds a little bit of sadness, right? Now, if someone says their plant died, well, I try real hard to reach down there in that heart of mine and sympathize with a plant dying. But most of the time, we don't see death as a good thing. But Jesus says in this passage of Scripture that there is a type of death that is a good thing because it is a type of death that produces life. If you look at verse number 24, he says this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Think about this. If you are saved this morning, and I trust you are, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you are saved because Jesus died. You are saved, we have eternal life, because Jesus came here and lived a perfect, sinless life and died on Calvary's cross and died in our place, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. He died that we might live. And we have eternal life here this morning because why? Because we came to a point where we recognized we were sinners and we placed our faith and trust in Jesus. And now we have life, and we don't just have eternal life, we have abundant life. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to die? Aren't you glad that he was willing to go to the cross? We live in a very self-centered society. People love taking selfies. I am told that more than 78% of the U.S. population has at least one social profile. You say, what does that mean? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, except much of these social profiles are about three people. Me, myself, and I. There you go. We live in a very selfie society. I'm told that people check their smartphones 81,500 times each year, or once every 4.3 minutes of our waking lives. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of looks. Jesus says self isn't the way to live. Jesus says, hey, the way to produce fruit, the way to make an impact is to die to self. Now I asked Brother Thomas to bring me a seed, and he brought me seeds, plural. Now he gave me a lesson on which seed was which, and I have no clue because my mind has no idea. But I'm going to try to find one of the smallest little seeds here. This one's pretty small. He said, by the way, he has smaller seeds. That's a pretty small seed. Jim, is that a lima bean? You don't know? It's a little green one. A pea. All right. So this seed, really, or this bag of seeds, is kind of worthless in this bag, unless I got sentimental and I thought, Jim Thomas gave me a bag of seeds. I'm so happy. Okay, that might make these seeds valuable to me, right? But really, these seeds don't have much value unless what? Unless this small little insignificant seed is put into the ground and, to use Christ's term, buried, die. Then what does a seed do? Jesus is using the description as corn. Fall into the ground and die. Then what happens? Then it produces fruit. It produces that which is valuable to some people. Lima beans. Is that what you said it was? Lima bean? Bean. Oh, pea. Pea. I like peas. I don't really care much for it. How many of you like peas? Okay, good. Okay, good. So then if this, I don't know why I thought lima bean, probably because it's maybe a little bit the same color. So really, this thing would become valuable to almost all of us because you say, hey, I like peas, right? As we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at what Jesus is saying, he's helping us to recognize that death to our flesh, death to ourself, will bring life. It will bring life in other people's lives. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you three thoughts, simple thoughts concerning these verses. And then, as we have time, I want to look at a couple illustrations in the Word of God of individuals that were willing to die to themselves and what God did through their lives. And so, the first thought is this from verse number 24. Here's the thought. When we die to self, people are helped. Other people are helped. The idea is then, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now flip over two or three pages to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15, and I want us to see that the desire of God for every Christian is for Christians to bear fruit. God wants to use us to bear fruit, and we're going to bear fruit in two ways. Number one, we're going to bear fruit in seeing people saved. In John 15 and verse 16, the Bible says this, the words of Jesus, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." In verse 4 of the same chapter, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." When we die to ourselves, fruit is born in the life of other people. You recognize that God wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God wants us to tell other people about Jesus. How many of you that comes naturally? None of us. You see, I'm supposed to pass out tracts. I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus, and they trust Christ as Savior, and we want that person to come to church and get baptized, and we want that fruit to remain. Do you know what? If we're going to help other people, if we're going to bear the fruit of seeing people trust Christ as Savior, we've got to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and be a little nervous and get a tract and say, here, will you take this? That doesn't come natural. Our flesh resists that. But the second way people are helped, the Bible tells us, and for sake of time we won't turn there, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you know what? If I am going to encourage other Christians, if I am going to be a blessing to other Christians, I have to die to myself, and I've got to let the Spirit of God live the Christian life through me. How many of you have ever been upset? Come on now, don't look at me piously. Do you know sometimes when things don't go the way that we like them to go, sometimes our flesh wants to do what? React. Our flesh wants to get upset. Our flesh wants to be unkind, which is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And we've got to recognize that I need to die to myself and allow the Spirit of God to produce Christ-likeness, for it to come out of me. The Christ that lives in you will live the Christian life through you if we die to ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to have His way in our life. And we allow what? The fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. How many of you have ever been encouraged by another believer because they allowed the fruit of the Spirit, one of them, to come out and be displayed to you? You ever have someone? Yeah. You ever have someone be kind? You ever have someone show the love of Christ and you say, wow. You ever have someone sacrifice in a time of need in their life? I remember, you know, my mother was the epitome of sacrifice. If she had something, if that was all she had, she would just give it up. Here, you have it. You need it more than I need it. That's not her flesh. That was what? That was a death to self that said, hey, I need to die so that I can impact other people for eternity. So number one, people are helped. Number two, I want you to see this. Look at the next verse. Go back to John 12 and verse number 25. John 12 and verse number 25. The Bible says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Number two, when we die to self, our life has meaning. Our life has meaning. You see, when I lose my life, it has meaning. When you came into this world, I don't mean to be unkind here, when I came into this world, we came into this world very self-centered. You ever watch little children, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, whatever? They want what they want, and they want it now, right? By the way, we live in a society of a lot of adults that act like children because they're living for numero uno. And numero uno is all that matters. But you know, when I recognize that life is not about me. Have any of you realized that? Life is not about me. Life is about Him. Life is about, I was created in His image. I was created in His image to glorify Him. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, as a Christian, we are bought with a price. Therefore what? We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. When I recognize that life is not about living for me, there are a lot of people that are living for their own selves. They're living for pleasure. They live from one day to the next for what's going to satisfy their flesh, for what's going to get them ahead. They seek to climb the corporate ladder. And in seeking to climb the corporate ladder, they'll step on anybody and everybody they can to climb the corporate ladder, to get to the top, only to recognize that when they're at the top of what they think is going to satisfy them, they find it empty. Only Jesus can satisfy one's soul. And when I recognize my life has been given to me by God, that I can impact others, but I recognize that that impacting of other people only comes when I die to self. My life has purpose. My life has meaning. Number three, I want you to see this, our third thought, and then I'm going to look at a few Bible illustrations and we'll be finished. John chapter 12 and verse number 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Number three, when I die to self, people are helped. My life has meaning. But number three, God is pleased. He says this, if you serve me, him will my Father honor. God honors those who are willing to die to self and allow his life to flow through them. Do you know what the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us as believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account of ourselves to God. Now, that's supposed to be a happy time. It's supposed to be a time of reward, and God is going to reward those that have been faithful. But really, the reality is God is going to honor those that allowed the Spirit of God to live the Christian life through them. The Bible says in John 6 and 63 that the flesh profits nothing. Do you know that we can do the work of God in the power of the flesh? We can get up here and just do the work of God. You can witness in the power of the flesh. I know people, teenagers, we had a youth evangelism on Thursday night in one of the churches I was in. I know teenagers that would come, and they came for the ice cream afterwards. And they would be passing out tracts thinking, I can't believe we have to do this. What are they doing? They're passing out tracts on the power of the flesh. And do you know at the judgment seat of Christ, that's not going to be rewarded. You see, what I do in the arm of the flesh isn't going to be rewarded. But when I die to self, when I live in dependence upon the Spirit of God that lives in me, and I allow the Spirit of God to use me, and I serve God in the power of the Spirit, God will honor that. I'm always amazed when I read the passage in Acts 7. Acts chapter 7, at the very end of Acts 7, Stephen, at the beginning of Acts 7, stands up and he preaches and he tries to help people to see that Jesus is the answer. At the end of Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned. He's stoned because the people resist the truth that he's trying to help them to see. But the Bible says in that particular chapter, Acts 7 in verse 55, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And then the Bible says, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. When we read the scriptures, we find Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. But in this particular passage, we see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I can't help but wonder if Jesus was standing and giving Stephen a standing ovation. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that there were some that allowed God to use them in such a great way that the world was not worthy of these individuals. Can you think about that? The only one that I know the world was not worthy of was our Lord Jesus Christ. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And Jesus put those people that were martyred, that allowed them to their lives to be totally sold out to God, He put them in the same category as Himself. The world was not worthy. When I die to self, God is pleased. It takes a death to self to get up out of bed and come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Visitation on Saturday and outreach. It takes a death to self to put things in their life like Bible reading, getting up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. It takes a death to self. I don't know many people that the alarm goes off and they jump out of bed like Tigger and they jump around the house and saying, ta-da, we get to read our Bibles. Yeah. Most people, their alarm goes off and their body says, their flesh says, yo, just ignore that. Stay right here, nice and comfy. But you know what? If I'm going to have a verse to give somebody today, I'm going to have to die to self and get up in the morning and read the Word of God and get a verse or get some encouragement that God can use me to produce fruit in the lives of other people. If we're going to see people saved, there's got to be a death to self. Hey, if we're going to help folks and speak in kindness, there's got to be a death to self. And you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to tell them? Hold on just a second. You got to have a conversation with yourself. Say, no, you're not. We're going to let the Spirit of God live through us. That aspect of dying to self that we might benefit others. Do you know sometimes we don't realize that what hinders us most is not the gospel. What hinders us most is not the harvest, the fields are white unto the harvest. What hinders us sometimes most in having an impact with others is they don't see Jesus in us, they see us. They see our flesh. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like seeing Christ in the life of another person. Sometimes you may have something to say to someone that God has given you. But if you don't say it in the Spirit, that individual sees that as your flesh, and that message goes unheeded. People don't listen because they think it's you and not the Christ that lives in you. Let's look at two Bible illustrations. Actually, I'm going to give you three, but I'm going to move real quickly. I can summarize, all right? So I want to look in the Word of God. You say, how does this work? Number one, I want us to see this. I think it's important for us to recognize that we need to die to worldly pursuits. Look at Jonah chapter 1. All right, we can do this quickly and not keep you here too long. I don't even know what time I started, so we'll just. You're going to be good. You're going to be good. Jonah chapter number 1. See, with the new time and all, we used to end at noon. So if I end at noon, I got all kind of time. All kind of time here. Jonah chapter number 1. Now, we know the story of Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. The Bible says in verse number 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. Jonah, I've got a job for you. I want you to go to Nineveh. The Bible says in verse 3, Jonah rose up and went to Tarshish. Jonah went the exact opposite. God said, I want you to go this way. And Jonah said, no, 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 I'm going to go the exact opposite. And God wanted to use Jonah to do what? To bring revival to Nineveh. But Jonah had to get his mind on the things of God. By the way, you look at this book, he was up and down. And the book ends kind of in a down note. He had to die to worldly pursuits. He had to die to what he wanted to do. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah had a prejudice issue. He didn't like the Ninevites. Matter of fact, Jonah knew that if he went to Nineveh, God would probably have mercy and God would probably do a work, and God did do a work when Jonah finally went. You see, sometimes we have our own plans. Sometimes we have our own agendas. We say, hey, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do what I want to do. And sometimes that's not what God wants us to do. The songwriter said it this way, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. The interesting thing about doing what God wants us to do is that God knows what will meet the deepest needs in our heart. He created us. He knows us inside and out. He understands us when we don't understand ourselves. He knows all about us. And He says to us, if you'll just surrender, if you'll die to your own pursuits, your own ambition, your own desire, and you'll let me have my way in your life, I will give you the end goal of what you really want, which is what? Peace, joy, fulfillment, satisfaction in life. When Jonah finally submitted to God and did things God's way, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. What do we see? We see revival. We see revival. You see, God's goal for us is way bigger than our goal. The thoughts that He thinks toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give us an expected end. God wants to use us in a greater way than we could ever imagine. But we've got to die to our own worldly pursuits, our own desires. Number two, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. I'll give you another Bible character that God used in a great way. In Hebrews 11, verse number 23, He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He'd been there since he was little because the decree was made that the boys would be killed. And so they mom put him in a little basket and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter and he grew up in Pharaoh's house. Egypt. There was a time in Moses' life where God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to deliver my people from Egypt. Moses was real little. I mean, you look at the insignificance of this little seed. Moses was like, I have a stuttering issue. I can't do this. Moses gave all kinds of excuses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. He said, who am I? What am I going to say? People aren't going to listen to me. I can't speak. But eventually, Moses made a decision to die, not just to worldly pursuits, but to die to worldly pleasure. Look at what the Scripture says here in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Do you know Moses was used of God in a great way to bring the children of Israel from Egypt to the outside of the promised land? He wasn't perfect. He had issues too, right? Like we all do. And he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. But imagine what it must have been like for Moses to stand with maybe two million people behind him to hold that rod out and for the Red Sea to part. Boy, I'm sure Moses, we don't know, but I can only imagine Moses standing there thinking, man, this is so much better than the pleasures of sin for a season. To see God work in a great way. To see God use him in a tremendous way. But you know what? Moses had to die. He had to die to himself. And God used him in a great way. Do you know taking a stand in this country is going to put you out of your comfort zone? It may mean, I don't know, and I hope not, but it may mean that someday we show up here and there's a sign on our door that says you can't meet. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to go into church and worship with whoever's in there? I'll be here. Since Pastor Drew works for me, he'll be here. We'll go down together. You know what? Taking a stand, it goes contrary to our flesh. It really does. We live in a world, and we'll see this in a minute. Let me just give you the third one, and then I'll summarize. All right, let's do this. Number three, we need to die to worldly pressure. Worldly pressure. In Matthew chapter 26, you can turn there if you want. I can read it here. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 34, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter says, "Not me." In chapter 26, same chapter, verse 75, the Bible says, "And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly." Why? Pressure. Peer pressure. There is a desire for this world to conform us, to mold us. That's why the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, "Be not conformed." Stop allowing the world to press you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world. But you know what? If I'm going to make a difference, if I'm going to impact people, if I'm going to make a difference like the disciples did and when they turned this world upside down for Jesus, do you know the answer for America is with God's people? Amen. The answer to this nation is for God's people to take a stand, to be willing to say, "Hey, I love Jesus and you ought to love him too. And Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And if you're not saved, you need to trust him as Savior." But you know what the problem is? The problem is Christian people are not willing to die to their own self, to their own comfort, to their own reputation. They're not willing to say, "Hey, I need to get up and I need to be here for visitation and I need to do what I can to clear my schedule to make some time to really impact to this world for Jesus. I need to get up and I need to spend time in God's Word and I need to spend time in prayer." Peter, in the book of Acts, made a huge difference, didn't he? He made a huge difference because he died to Peter. I want to read you a story, an illustration in closing that I think really illustrates this verse here. And it's a story that was written by a missionary wife, Rosalind Goforth. She was a missionary wife of the great missionary to China, Jonathan Goforth. And as she told this story of God helping her to see the importance of death to her own self-life so that others could be helped. She writes this. She's on the mission field. She's in China. And she writes this. "One day, I can never forget it, as I sat inside the house by a paper window at dusk, two Chinese women sat down on the other side." Now imagine you're in your house and there's two people on your porch and they're talking. And the window's opening and you're listening. And they said this. She said, "They began talking about me, and wrongly, no doubt, but she said, I listened. One said, yes, she's a hard worker, a zealous preacher, and yes, she dearly loves us, but oh, what a temper she has. If she would only live more as she preaches. Then followed a full and true delineation of my life and character. She said, so true indeed was it as to crush out all sense of annoyance and leave me humbled to the dust. I saw then how useless, how worse than useless was it for me to come to China to preach Christ and to not live Christ. I knew I loved Christ, and again I had proved my willingness to give up all for His sake. But I knew too that one hot flash of temper with the Chinese or with the children before the Chinese would largely undo weeks, perhaps months, of self-sacrificing service. The Lord helped Rosalind to understand these truths. And she said, at last I realized that Jesus Christ was actually and literally within me. I stopped amazed how blind I had been. I saw at last the secret of victory. It was simply Jesus Christ Himself, His life lived out in my life. The Bible says we're earthen vessels. You know, when a vessel is broken, what's inside that vessel will come out. And do you know, as we allow ourselves to be broken, to die to self, the life of Christ will come out. And He will bear fruit from our life. Wow. And do you know what? People will be impacted for eternity because of us. We're still reading stories about Hudson Taylor, Jonathan Goforth, and Spurgeon. People that died to self are still impacting. And do you know what? If we'll die to self, our lives will impact others for all eternity. Lord, we love You today. Thank You for the privilege to love You. But I pray that You would help us to recognize that life isn't about us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be willing to die to self, that You might live through us. Give us fulfillment and use us to impact so many others. Lord, I pray that You'd work now in the time of invitation as we allow folks to do business with You. Our heads are bowed, our eyes